This is RSVNB Update, episode 619, recorded Thursday, May 18th, 2017, the RuneScape Minefield. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVNB Update. RSVNB Update is here, getting ready for the eventual release of Menopos. Tanis is here this week, as he has been for the beginning of this month and the rest of this month. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Sierra Pyro from Clan Quest, who has some experience with the core update of this week and has used this product in the past, haven't you?
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. I've used the orb plenty of times, and I've done some of my own color correction, but I like this.
Yeah, so that's one of the things we'll, of course, be talking about. Some bombshell information regarding Menopos, and, well, some horrible news in tech news this week. So lots of things to talk about this week. So let's just jump right in with this week's core update, and that is the custom skies and custom skyboxes, image filters, and competition associated with this. So this seems very much like a ninja update that just worked its way into game and is something probably a lot of people have been asking for a long time when it comes to Orb of Oculus users, correct?
Something along these lines, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of this specifically, but I'm glad it's there.
Right. So you might be wondering what happened here. Well, they updated the Orb of Oculus so you no longer need to have the device in your inventory, and you can just basically right-click on the world map icon and choose free camera, and you'll get the Orb of Oculus interface that we have all become accustomed to. So you can enter that and move around the RuneScape world as you normally do. But there's more. They also added the ability to change the RuneScape skybox, and they also added a ton of image filters. Obviously, we can't do it justice on an audio podcast of what this looks like. So if you are interested in seeing this, you can find it on YouTube at YouTube/RSBNB staff. Some demo videos of everything here. So for skyboxes, we have Dusk, Dawn. We also have the Eclipse skybox that came from Sliske's Endgame. We have Midday. Let's see, what else do we have here? Where is that interface? Come on, open up.
There's some throne.
Yeah, throne.
Skybox. I'm not sure where that's from.
Bonfire.
Goshima.
Obviously from the Ark Islands. You know, I'm not sure where Bonfire and Throne came from. Anyways, so you can change the skies. Which one of these do you guys like the most of all the sky boxes?
I like Dusk.
Yeah, Dusk? Okay. Yeah, I got to say, Prif looks pretty amazing in Dusk mode with all the neat lighting effects. Dawn is good, I think, but it looks a little bit foggy in some cases, just because of the...
It's like got a morning haze to it.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. And we were talking in pre-show, what you can also do with this is you can use this to change Draenor Village if you don't like having Draenor Village all dark and whatnot, so you can finally have that option.
Just choose midday.
To choose midday. But you know, these are basically skyboxes we've seen all throughout RuneScape before, so it's nice to have that utility. And I think what's important to underscore here is that this is a feature primarily designed for orb users. I think that's what has to be underscored with this, because if you teleport into specific areas, I don't know what you guys have found in terms of teleporting, you lose the skybox effect.
Yes, and what this reminds me of is, I think where this update probably originated from. If you remember last year, do you remember the glitch that became a feature that everyone loved when they changed the skybox? You could choose it for your house,
right?
But if you teleported out of your house, you kept the skybox. of course, if you did another teleport, then you lost it. So it's very similar in that way. I've heard, but I will only say, like, rumor wise, that that may be getting a fix. I don't know. I don't know if it's confirmed. That it will change when you teleport.
Oh yes,
it's supposed to be consistent.
Okay, so obviously that means that's an intention then.
Yeah.
One of the skybox that actually doesn't work on the NXT client, though, I found.
Really? On the NXT client?
I did not know that.
Or do you mean the Java client?
It only works on the Java client. It does not work on the NXT client.
What, changing?
Glitch.
Oh, the glitch. Right. Okay. Fair enough. Yes, that makes sense. And I remember that as something that was talked about when the NXT client came out. So there's also filters. Various filters include the River of Blood hallucination. Everyone remembers that one from that last vampire quest. Also Blue Shadows, Magic Toad, Aminishi, Spirit Realm, Agashima filter, Zemmerigal's Scrying Pool. So basically a bunch of area filters from where we've been on quests that you can choose if you're wanting to replicate that area. Some of them are really hard on the eyes, specifically the River of Blood hallucination filter. In Prif, that just turns everything white, and oh boy. I'm not sure where the Magic Toad filter came from. Any ideas?
I'm not sure either.
We know where Aminishi and Gashima came from, and Zemmerigal's Scrying Pool as well. And then there are some standard filters that you would expect to find on websites like Instagram and in general, if you are doing color correction in RuneScape. And yeah, I kind of just threw that in there that people could end up taking their own RuneScape Instagram-ish kind of filters. We got options for warm, cool, sepia, cell shade, cross process, high contrast, color inversion, and grayscale.
My personal favorite.
Grayscale, yeah. And why is that?
It's interesting to look at the game in grayscale, and I've been messing around with it to get a very much noir look.
Yeah, like you and I were talking about, 1920s New York kind of theme you could build in a RuneScape murder mystery or something like that. Deal with an axe or a bolt to the head, I think, as you put it. That was going to be my execution method. Tanis, you also enjoy the color inversion one. And explain a bit about that.
Yeah, okay. So I don't believe this was like intentional, but it doesn't matter because Jagex did a great thing here, and this actually can help accessibility. And what I mean is sometimes it can be hard. You know, everyone knows my backstory. I'm legally blind. I use a magnifier, and sometimes lighting can really affect my gameplay. And so to be able to have the ability to take a dark area and make it lighter or vice versa, for whatever I need. And then to throw a color filter, sometimes if you invert colors, that can be very helpful for people that are colorblind. So the grayscale can be absolutely great. That's actually how that's how I use my computer normally, is I have it. It's all black and my letters are white stuff. It helps me see it. So this is really, really good. Like I said, I don't think they intended it necessarily, but it's a happy effect. So I love it. And on the same note, like the Eclipse is skybox, awesome. Like it just looks good everywhere.
It's very creepy too.
Awesome. Yeah, it is, but it's so cool.
Yeah. So I guess the next question is here. Do you anticipate, I don't know if you plan on making RS movies again, but how do you think this would be received by the RS movie population? Because obviously someone who is making a movie could do their own color correction and put their own high contrast or sepia or black and white filter on the video that they shoot. But the skyboxes and other things that are available, you think that'll have a wide adoption by the community?
Well, I don't know how much of a community is left at this point to begin with. But
that's a good point.
One thing that this can do that you can't do with just adding something in post is lighting. You can't change the lighting or the shadows of something in post.
True.
So like if you mess around with the dusk setting, you'll see clearly that all the shadows shift around. Then you go to dawn, they shift around again.
It's, you know, that's
stuff like that.
That is something I think that people don't realize about the NXT client is that there is in effect a sun in the sky, and the changing skybox lets us see that. And the shadow engine of NXT is really on display here in that you can see it shift as you switch between skyboxes, which is really amazing. And, you know, once again, another reason why we have NXT and why, you know, it was such a great update last year. So they're also running a competition with this. So if you submit your screenshot competition to this thread here that has details, you can have a chance to win an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 1080 graphics card. So if you just share them on Twitter with the hashtag SkyboxComp, they'll shortlist the applicants on May 22nd and make a decision after that about who is going to win. So, you know,
alternatively, they have a thread on the RuneScape official forums where you can submit as well.
Yeah, that's good. I like that they are doing it on their own website this time around. the runner-up gets 2 bonds, and the second runner-up gets 1 bond. So that's quite the step down from a GeForce GTX 1080.
You think?
So someone's going to be very, very lucky with this. Any ideas about where the best place to go would be for this competition?
I don't know. I submit a few pictures, but just because I was playing around with the noir look.
Right.
I'm not expecting much, but a lot of people seem to be going to Prif because that has, on its own, pretty cool lighting. So adding on to it. Alternatively, I would imagine Draenor because you can make that look really different.
Yeah. What about on top of the Wizard's Tower?
That was exactly what I was thinking, to take advantage of the draw distance with this. Yep, that's what I was thinking too.
There's another one posted on the first page here, the Clan Citadel. You can see the sky's an option there. I mean, not too many people know think about the Citadel, but hey, it's an option.
Get a nice shot of the Dominion Tower from the Citadel.
Oh yeah, there you go. That would work as well. Looking like we got some other ones here. The Polypore Dungeon with a different effect on it, which would be a good thing to do. So lots of options, actually, when you think about it. There's going to be a lot to go through here for Jagex to pick. But I think everyone should enter this because, I mean, hey, it's a chance at a GeForce GTX 1080. And yeah. If you're anything like me, you need a new graphics card, but you don't absolutely need one. So
I don't even know if that would fit my computer if I won that.
Well, there you go. That might spur an entirely new upgrade after that. All right. Anything else on these filters and skyboxes before we move on?
You know, I just want to say that once again, for the second time this month already, we are seeing the power of NXT, the modernization of RuneScape, and good job, Jagex. This is what we wanted. You're taking advantage of it, and I'm really pleased, really happy.
Indeed. And I think without it, you know, this is exactly why the Java client needs to be kicked off to the side, which will happen eventually. So if you're not using NXT right now, you should definitely give it a try. All right. Sierra, did you have anything else?
Not really. I've noticed a few bugs, but just got to give them time.
Yeah. I actually liked your black and white screenshots. You should post some of those in the competition thread.
I did.
Oh, good. All right.
They're like on page 36, I think.
All right. I'll try and find some in the show notes then. I think we should all put some in the show notes just to show what we've been up to. Once again, show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Okay. So we do have some patch notes this week. A number of good ones and some ones that have been a long time coming. So I'll just get us started here. A Bloodstone has been added, which can be acquired by talking to Vanescula if you have completed River of Blood. And of course,
what's the Bloodstone again?
It's kind of like the Daystone and the Nightstone that you get from God Wars 2, except this lets you change the sky around. So that's what's going to happen there. Now, here's something that I think a lot of people are going to be very happy about. So you'll remember that we got the Sun Spear after River of Blood and got an upgraded version of it. Or no, it wasn't River of Blood. What was the second last vampire quest? I can't remember the name.
Lord of Vampirium.
Lord of Vampirium. It? We got a sword after Lord of Vampirium, and then we got the Sun Spear after River of Blood. And the idea behind this was that it was a level 78 weapon that could be augmented and you can change the combat type. But the downside was that you could only change this combat type when you weren't in combat. So the two-handed Sun Spear and its augmented variation can now swap styles during combat. So basically what this means is if you've got some critter out there who is prayer changing on you and you want a weapon that can easily swap between ranged and magic, well, this is the weapon you use, because with a simple right click, you can be doing ranged 1 minute and magic the next. So this is huge for this weapon, and I think was one of the initial detractors of it. And, you know, if you're looking for a cheap weapon to use for basic slayer, there's no reason not to use this Sun Spear now, a level 78 augmentable weapon. So I'm very happy about this. And if I was doing slayer, this is what I would be using, unless I needed some more firepower. So good job, Jagex, on this one.
One thing with the patch notes that I don't see on here that is relevant to the last point is that the Nightstone and Sunstone have had the 90-second cooldown removed.
Oh, good. All right. I must have missed that one when I was putting them in.
I think that means they last indefinitely now.
Yeah, so, and you can swap between them without having to delay, maybe. Okay, it says no longer expire after 90 seconds. So you're right on that regard that it's a permanent effect now, which makes sense because they're going to be having these effects with the filters in game. So why not just let it be permanent? Also, a toggle has been added to the world hop interface to ignore confirmation when left-click world hopping. I don't know if a toggle is needed for this. What do you guys think?
Hey, another toggle. You want a toggle? You get a toggle. You get a toggle. Everybody gets a toggle.
I think you just summed up the feeling right there. I mean,
yeah.
A world switcher is a simple thing and should not need to have options to it.
No, I agree.
Messages from using luck-enhancing items like the Ring of Wealth and Luck of the Dwarves are no longer filtered. That's good. Because obviously you can either have the filter on or filter off. And if you have the filter off, you get way too many notifications coming across your screen. And I think with the recent luck rework, people definitely want to see Luck of the Dwarves and, the various, other luck rings, when they activate, because sometimes the drops can be indistinguishable. So that's good. This has been added. And I know some people were, waiting for this for a long time. All right, now here's something else that we have been waiting for a long time. Miscellanea. You guys remember when Miscellanea came out?
I don't remember when it came out, but I remember when I discovered it.
Exactly. So the time since you last collected resources has been added to the Miscellanea Kingdom overlay. So that's huge. I mean,
hooray. About time.
Yeah, because right now you can basically see the percentage of your favor in Miscellanea, but you can see if it's been 5 days, 3 days, or 14 days since you've last been there. So, you know, Throne of Miscellanea came out in 2004. So, once again, long time coming. And great update.
Yeah.
And my people are going to be so appreciative now, because now I don't have to be a slumlord. Like, I forgot them. My approval rating's down to 50%. I'm up there chopping trees for the next, like, 3 days. And I'm kidding. But, you know, but still, it's like, I always feel bad. I go up there. I'm like, oh, this place kind of run down. Uh-oh. Oops.
They can take care of themselves.
You know, hey.
Yeah, they managed for all that time without you, so why not?
Right.
Afro sold by Party Peter no longer tradable?
I don't know why, but okay.
I think if you were talking to the free-to-play, these Afros could be sold as potentially a rare item.
Uh-huh. So
if someone had just started the game and get scammed for an Afro. That would be my guess behind this, because that's the only reason. That's the only thing that remotely makes sense here.
Or they could have just made Afros free-to-play.
I thought Afros were free-to-play.
I don't know.
I can look that up right now for you, if it's a free-to-play item or a member's item. Let's see.
Whatever. Doesn't really affect gameplay that much.
No, it does not, but it was an interesting one here. All right. You can now convert generic daily and weekly R&D tokens to weekly and monthly R&D tokens.
D&D.
Oh, did I say R&D?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. So there's a new addition to crafting right there, R&D. So you can take 7 daily D&D tokens into 1 weekly D&D token, or 28 daily D&D tokens into 1 monthly D&D token, and 4 weekly D&D tokens into 1 monthly D&D token. So pretty obvious right there.
If only I had any tokens to actually combine.
Yeah, I got. Oh, you don't have any?
I had like 8 dailies, and that was it. And I used most of them, getting 99 divination.
Ah, all right, I see. Yeah, I got a bunch in my bank, and I might combine them to see if I can get some oyster rewards from that. I don't know.
There you go.
That's my favorite thing to do with those tokens, is because it's basically free money, right?
Oh yeah, and people have gotten dice from that. It has happened.
Yeah, I know too, actually.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty nice. I'm just glad, because I'll always end up with dailies or weeklies that I don't use. And it's like, the ones I want to use are monthlies, but I never get monthlies. So
yeah.
Welcome change.
Yeah. All right. Now some changes for the Mac client, specifically Mac OS X. It's called Mac OS, guys, now. It's not OS X anymore. Input fixes.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. The official language is Mac OS, not OS X.
All right.
That's what Apple says. The Command Q hotkey has been fixed, which for you Windows people is our equivalent of Alt F4.
I'm aware of what it is.
I know, but I'm just informing the listeners.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to us.
No, I talk to the listeners, and you guys can talk to the listeners too. Various command keys, especially Shift Command 4 and Command Tab, and they were leaving the Shift and Command buttons held down on macOS and blocking mouse input until they were pressed again, have been fixed. And the reason for this is that Command Shift and Command Tab dealt with the sticky keys interaction on macOS, so that prevented the mouse from working on the client. So that was an interesting little thing to try and fix. When you were taking a screenshot in-game, you would try to figure out what the keys were, and then finally realized it was Shift and Command that were doing it. And slow scrolling with the mouse wheel is no longer ignored and scrolls by a small amount, as it should. So once again, a nice little quality of life fix for those out there who play RuneScape on a Mac. That's something we have noticed for quite some time. So happy that's been fixed. Really good for our client. Anything else in the patch notes that you guys want to talk about that I might have glossed over?
I think I mentioned the one thing.
Yeah.
There is something I don't see it in the patch notes. I don't understand. The Slayer VIP tickets got changed and moved to your currency pouch.
Oh, okay. Let's see. VIP. Yeah, Slayer VIP tickets have been moved to the currency pouch. That was in the patch notes here.
Okay, because I looked, I didn't see it, and I went to get my VIP tickets, and they were gone. So I've noticed, though, if you have them in your pouch, you go to the Slayer Master, it will give you the option automatically. So it's like you're using them automatically. So that's kind of cool.
Is this a happy change?
Yeah. Yes, I like it. I mean, it's cool.
All right.
And anything to save a bank space, right on.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Let's get to the elephant in the room for this week.
Okay.
Road to Menaphos, Chapter 3, Combat and Slayer. So, last Friday they put out the video for Combat and Slayer at Menaphos, and this week they had a live stream on the topic. Tannis, you watched the live stream. I watched the Osborne and Joe video in the desert, and it's basically summarized as the following. The Slayer dungeon will reside across the river on the Sophanim side. It will have creatures from combat level 101 to level 135. They want to encourage exploration of the dungeon by increasing rewards and encouraging people to delve deeper into the dungeon by using a new loot chest mechanic that we heard about in the dev diary videos. And there will be a new Slayer boss at the end of the dungeon that's kind of in line with the Legions from the Ascension dungeon. Now, there's also something else here. Slayer to 120 will, of course, be coming with this. And they are bringing out a new way to train at level 99 to 120. No details are being released in this video or now. It will be left to the players to discover on their own in Menaphos. All right. So, elephant in the room. Tannis, you are, to put it mildly, a little bit rubbed the wrong way by this announcement.
Yeah. I'm peeved. You're giving us this, let's face it. This is the headlining expansion for the year. This is the update. And you're putting it in an existing place. The keystone of this whole expansion, it's the 120 Slayer, because let's face it, the majority of players are not in the 50 and 60 level range. That's your second account. That's not your main account. So if you want something for your main account, that was the 120 Slayer. That's what we had, a little something with Menaphos for that, and they put it in the wrong city. Now, I understand the argument. It fits better. You know, it fits with the lore better. Then write some lore. This is just appalling to me. I don't know. I don't want to be negative. I really don't want to be negative, but I don't understand this decision. And frankly, I don't understand a lot of the decisions with this whole Slayer. I'm still optimistic, but you put it in the wrong city, man.
Well, to be fair, it does look like Sophanim and the dungeon, like the area in Sophanim, will be getting a graphical update with this. And of course, the graphical update will apply to the dungeon itself. So, I mean, it could be underneath not only Sophanim, but it could also expand out to underneath Menaphos, perhaps.
I would understand if it was like a complete rework of Sophanim graphically. Like if it came with Menaphos and Sophanim got a graphical rework, I wouldn't be too upset about that.
Well, that's kind of what it looks like in the video here.
They're still including and updating Sophanim, so it's part of the expansion.
Yeah, because, I mean, in this video here, at around the 130 mark, there is a graphical picture of what Sophanim and the entrance to the dungeon will look like. Because you can see the two pyramids on this video that currently reside in Sophanim. And Sophanim is getting a graphical update to look like Menaphos does. So, I mean,
and if that's the case, then what is up with what they said on two streams ago, where they couldn't go all out because they didn't want it to look, you know, they didn't want it to look weird having something brand new and shiny and awesome in NXT, but yet having an old area next to it. Like, they just blew their excuse up with that.
Well, I think, I don't know, it might be too early to tell here, but based on, you know, the couple of frames we have here, it doesn't look like it's a complete rework of Sophanim. It just looks like it's a reskin and a retexture, because when they do a rework, they can either, you know, update the textures and whatnot, or they can, you know, completely create new buildings as they're doing with Sears Village right now, and they did with Catherby, or they can just do a reskin like they did in Falador. So,
you know, and that brings up the next issue. And let me just say, I will deal with this. I just hope they're at least give us an entrance. Give us an entrance in Menophos. Otherwise, I'm just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But on the reskin, we're getting, what they said, 12 new Slayer mobs. Six of them are things that already exist. They're adding the word corrupted to it. This is my problem, okay? No one expected this to be Prif. What I do expect is the same level of creativity and thoughtfulness. That is what irks me. Because Prif, there was things that had never been seen before. There was new training methods. There was new stuff. You just reskinned half of the new 120 Slayer and called it a corrupted Scorpion. What? And then on top of that, the new things, did you see? Now, I'm happy about
this.
Well,
what if they have new drops?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because it's going to be involved using the loot chest mechanic. And you're right. I mean, that is entirely what it presents here. And, you know, from a development perspective, it isn't lazy because each of these new NPCs needs to be modeled. They need to have balancing and combat mechanics and, of course, drops put into them with the loot chest. So while it might seem like that on the outside, Jagex, I think, feels internally that they're doing a lot of work on this and players will appreciate it. And, you know, as soon as I saw a couple of weeks ago the map of Menophos and the fact that it's a four-part video series about what is in Menophos, I knew that expectations had to be tapered a bit because I knew whenever we talk about a new city, it's going to end up being something like set to the benchmark that we had for Prif a couple years ago, which is fine. And I think lots of people understand that and, you know, would be happy with that. But at the same time, expectations need to be managed. And I don't think Jagex is doing a good enough job of managing these expectations. So,
you know, and I completely agree. And I have been very measured with my expectations. And if they have to do all of that work, like you said, Shane, like if you're doing the balancing and the drop tables and you have to do all of that and even remodeling to an extent, why not throw in just a little dash? Because what I wasn't willing to bend with was the thoughtfulness, the creativity. I mean, to me, that's a huge part of it. I mean, I wanted to see something we had never seen before. I don't care if it's perfect. I don't, it doesn't need to be shiny and look wonderful. I want it to look good because NXT, but it doesn't, like, I was very measured with what I was expecting. I didn't expect the best XP rates. I mean, I knew all that, but just to reskin stuff. And even though and if you're doing all that work on the back end, why would you not just take a little extra time and think of some new monsters? I don't know. This one is just, I hate it because this is the first time that I feel disappointed, and I haven't felt disappointed at all. You know, this one though, I'm just going, I don't get it.
I think you have a very fair point, and I think there's a lot of people who are going to see it the way that you see it. And, you know, what that materializes into on the day of release for Menophos, I think will be defining for it. And, you know, while I want this to be successful, I definitely want this to be successful. And I think on its own, the idea of this new Slayer dungeon is very novel. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah. There are some things that they have done absolutely brilliant on. The loot mechanic, brilliant. That's new. That's great. Good job. You know, I like that they brought back the things from Halloween 2015. That was one of the best Halloween events. Cool.
Which was that?
I'm okay with that. I think they're called they're Soul Devourers or something. I think it's what we were fighting in that mansion.
All right.
So that's cool. I mean, that's something you only saw once, so I don't mind bringing that. You know what I mean? you only saw it once for like a week. So that's different. But the loot mechanic, awesome. I love that they're kind of following a little bit of the Legion. The Legion dungeon was a really great ecosystem between people that could hunt for the keys and people that did the bosses. So that's a great mechanic to put in this dungeon. So that there are some good things, you know. And I want it to be successful too. I really do. I wouldn't be being honest if I didn't share what I really felt when I watched that stream, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I wonder, like do you think that the majority of people are going to see it the way you're seeing it, as being a little bit lazy in regards to the NPCs? Because you said 6 out of 12 are going to be new, right?
Yeah.
And that's half. It's
supposed to be. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, I hope that I am the outlier in this. I really do, because I want this to succeed. I want it to be good.
Yeah, and I think anytime you would have some kind of negativity associated with a huge update like this, that's a very, very bad thing. What are you wondering, Sam?
I'm just wondering why are they doing a whole 120 update for 12 mobs, 12 monsters? Seems like not a lot.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to Slayer being one of the most favorite skills in game for many people. And if they can take it to 120, that gives them an extra 20 levels to work around and add things to for Slayer in the future. And, you know, I think having only 12 of them in here right now really basically is kind of like the old Slayer was when it first came out, that said, okay, we're going to bring Slayer out, but the highest we have is level 85. So, and I mean, that was fine back then. And I think they're going to be spreading some of these critters out throughout the 100 to 120 range, right?
Yes, yes. It starts at 88 and it tops out at 117.
Okay, so there's going to be some void areas in there where there is nothing, but at the same time, there's going to be options to do these new critters. So I think objectively, it's going to end up looking a lot like Slayer was when it first came out, with room to expand in the future. So I think that's the answer as to why they're going to 120 right now, and that Slayer's a popular skill. Now,
sorry, Shane, go ahead.
I was just going to say, now comes that back to what you said, where is it going to be enough that it is a reskinned, add corrupted to the name of it, and put it in this new dungeon with a different drop mechanic? Is that going to be enough? I don't know. And, you know, the community these days has a tendency to surprise me about these various things. So we'll just have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, and we should mention too that there will be a Slayer boss, and that is the first.
Right.
There are going to be, this is going to be a mix of, like, I'm looking at it more like a God Wars 2, where there will be a few mechanics, but not so much that you have to be an elite PVMer to do it. So that's good. And they're also being very careful with the market, and they're not bringing that out for 2 weeks after the launch of Menophos, to get some keys and their circulation and whatnot. Whatever it drops, it's also going to be dropping much like God Wars 2, where there's going to be a component that you get from the mobs and a component from the boss. So that's interesting. And I also noticed, I noticed things, and this may be nothing, but they were, they did say when they were talking about why, you know, Slayer going to 120, they said this would, you know, this is the first existing skill to take to 120, but they said this is the first existing skill, which I'm probably looking too much into this, but I think this is the first of many more to come.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an obvious thing to do, because if there is to be more stuff added and it's already full, it's better to, you know, add it at 100 to 120 than it is to compress everything else, unless you're doing a major rework like is going to happen in the mining and smithing skill. But on the other side of it, yeah, true, eventually. On the other side of it, this brings up the idea that we have been talking about for a long time on this podcast. What's to say we want to continue trading to all these skills to 120? What if we just wanted to reset after 99? Prestige. Will they let us finally prestige after level 120 if they bring all these skills to 120? I don't know, but it's a question that can keep coming up and coming up again. So, All right. Anything else on Menaphos Slayer? I mean, it sounds like to me personally, it has the potential to be a good update if you are looking primarily at the dungeon, the boss, and the new loot mechanics, and you can forgive that they're named the same things. Because what's down there, let's face it, is going to be a completely different model and different textures than what's already in-game elsewhere. So
and that's my take on it. If that happens, then I will I'll take it all back. You know, I'm afraid that, you know, my big fear was that you're going to have a scorpion from the old Taverly dungeon and it's going to say corrupted on it. You know, that's my fear. If it's like you say, Shane, I'll give him a little slack on that. I would have still liked to see an original new monster, but I'll cut you some slack on that, you know.
And I think you
I'm
could,
still hopeful.
Right. And I think you could go from the corrupted angle because that entire area dealt with the Scabrites, and I think there was some kind of corruption involved with them. So maybe that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So that's Menaphos Slayer. It is also account security week on RuneScape, and they wanted this to be account security week because the old Jagex account guardian system was retired. And this is the week that they are encouraging everyone to activate the RuneScape Authenticator. Of course, those of you guys who remember, we talked about the RuneScape Authenticator a few weeks ago. It's an application that you can run on your phone, or you can even run it on your Windows PC with WinAuth, and Jagex has instructions for that to really take your security of your account up to the next level. So all through this week, going up to Sunday, May 21st, anyone who has the Authenticator enabled will receive an additional 2 Treasure Hunter keys this week when you log in each day. So that means a member who does not have Premier Club will be getting 4 Treasure Hunter keys. Also, Count Check has appeared back in Lumbridge and has goodies up his sleeve. And if you talk to him this week and you have an Authenticator enabled, you will get a medium XP lamp. And if you claimed your XP lamp in October 2016 during customer support week, well, you can claim a second lamp here. So get a medium XP lamp if you have Authenticator enabled and extra Treasure Hunter keys. You guys have Authenticator enabled for your accounts?
No.
Yes. Oh, no.
I don't like using phones for things.
Well, there's an application.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, you can use an application called WinAuth.
Yeah, it's probably all complicated, and I got to set stuff up.
It takes.
Shane explained it in very.
Yeah,
very
I explained terms. It in a minute and a half last time on the show. So it is a very simple thing to set up, and it basically takes the chance of someone getting into your account down to almost negligible from this. So it's definitely something that you should look at if you are not already using it. And if you don't want to use a phone and you have Windows, hey, you can use that no problem here. I'll make sure I include a link to the help and support document on the RuneScape website that talks about this, because it's really quite simple. So let me see if I can find it right now, because they did also redo the support pages here for this. So yeah, here we go, right here. Setting up the Authenticator without a mobile device. All right. Excellent. Ooh, they even have a new way of doing it directly through Chrome.
I don't use Chrome.
Well, I'm sure you could do it through Firefox as well.
Such disdain when you say that.
Well, I mean, hey, it is something that lots of people do use. They use Chrome, so Authy. I actually think I prefer the WinAuth route here. Yeah, they recommend Authy. All right. So that's something that can be done. So Authy or WinAuth. Yeah, I'll include the instructions for doing it with WinAuth again. Let's see if Authy is available for Firefox. Because, I mean, Firefox is a major browser, so should have it. Open two-factor authentication? Yeah, it might work. I don't know. But I will include a video instruction in the show notes on how to do that, because it's definitely something people should do. Okay. One final thing this week. There's a chance to win an all-expense trip paid to RuneFest for two people. They're giving away three packages here. You will get your flights, accommodation, and night before RuneFest and RuneFest day passes paid for, and £250 in spending money to be used at the event, or I guess in London as a whole. So now you might be asking, how do I enter this? Well, they say you'll have to disentangle the fabled story of the Golden Path. And they say, how do you do that? Well, we'll let you figure that one out yourself. Here's a clue, though. Look to the negatives to find the positive. Consider it nothing, everything, Menophos, ageless, the infinite city. Everyone who completes the challenge in its entirety will get a special Menophos-themed prize, and those who are speedy will get something even more awesome. Good luck, adventure, and don't forget, clues are hidden everywhere, even in plain sight. So, that's an interesting way of doing this. I think it would be great if they did have a way of entering this without doing this competition quest, because, I mean, this severely limits it to the number of people who will actually do this. So, But I mean, hey, it's a huge prize. And they say if people don't want to go to RuneFest or they can't, you will receive a lifetime RuneScape membership.
Which, oh, snap.
Yeah, that could be pretty valuable too. And that's why I think, you know, they should let everyone enter it. So,
They haven't offered lifetime membership in a while.
That's right. So, anyways, anything else RuneScape related before we move on to our discussion topic for the week? Nope.
Don't think so.
All right. Well, our next one is a topic about double XP weekends. From Parnassius and how we just appear to be having, oh, so many double XP weekends here. So Parnassius says, hey guys, Parnassius here. My question this week is in regard to the bonus XP weekend about to hit us. Way back in 2012, Jagex told us we were not going to have any more of these. Then in October that year, we suddenly had a new version of it, double XP. Previous to this, the bonus XP was in a sliding scale from 2.7 times when you first logged in, steadily decreasing until it bottomed out at 1.2 times XP. At that time, I thought it was hitting us twice a year, which was more than enough. To be honest, I thought once a year would have been adequate. Now, fast forward to the end of 2016, suddenly bonus XP seems to be thrown in game without abandon. We have a double XP weekend in September, which really runs 3 days. Then we had bonus XP from 30th of December to January 5th. Granted, this was a 10% boost, but still, it ran for almost a full week. Roll forward to February, and again, we had a 3-day double XP weekend, which Jagex then added a full week whereby players received an additional 1 million bonus XP that started at doubled and lowered by 5% every 50,000 XP gained until the 1 million XP was used. This was available for the entire week immediately following the finish of the February bonus, and now, just 3 months later, we're having another double XP weekend. On top of all the cookie-cutter so-called special events that dump loads of extra free XP with skilling plots, such as the Build-A-Fair, Port Serum event, Pirate Boat event, Down in Lumbridge Swamp, and the like, do you think Jagex have watered down the game too much? These events corrupt the economy and further eat away at the already dismal GP amounts that skillers are already victim of. Free cooking, free smithing, free construction, free crafting, the list goes on and on. Is it time for the developers to be more innovative and create actual fun content that is both rewarding and fun to play without being lazy and resorting to the thought of, hey, we want a new game update this week, let's reskin the Falador event again and dump more XP into the game for players to just grind away and not fully engage in said content? Even the mental health awareness event was so ho-hum. We simply got tokens for appearing in our inventory without any player interaction at all. I, for one, am sick of all these events happening one on top of another, seemingly month after month. Love forward to hearing your discussions regarding this and happy escaping all. Parnassius. All right. What do you guys think of double XP weekends?
I don't mind them at all.
All right.
Typically only two a year. This year is special because of Menaphos. I'll get to that. But they drive traffic. They get more people online, more people doing things. So even if it is a single player, doesn't really involve community interaction, it gets more people on that could interact.
Right.
And it makes sense to Jagex's point of view that they would have a sort of a sweeps kind of weekend if you're going to compare it to TV, where they would just want to have drive traffic to the game.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So you're basically saying they're marketing, they're for marketing over anything else, and the players get something.
I think that's part of it from their perspective, because it definitely helps generate traffic, get people online.
All right.
That's sure if there's any business stuff behind it that I don't know about.
Well, it would depend how many people decide to purchase extra treasure hunter stuff, right?
Or renew their membership
for it, or purchase bonds. So, all right. What do you think, Tanis?
I love double XP weekends. I think there's something special about them. Everyone gets excited, gets kind of giddy, gets twice a year. I think it's cool. Not everyone can make, double XP weekends. And if you can't make one, then you have another shot. This year is an exception. Now, I don't know if we would need three going forward. I think this was a last chance for people to try to get their Slayer before Menaphos.
And that makes sense. I think you hit the nail on the head there, because aside from, the people who want to have it when it comes out, the requirements for Menaphos are level 50 skills and a bunch of quests, or two quests.
Right. And I know that the feeling is, I hear it all the time. Oh, RS3. Oh, easy escape. Yep. You know what? Give me easy escape. Because I grew up with RuneScape at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the game has changed as it was supposed to, as we have changed. I feel like the XP is not really an issue. I would much rather have double XP weekends and bonus XP all the time. I'd much rather have that. Now, I can understand what he's saying, especially when it comes to the fair, the beach, but the fair, it's crap XP if you are anything over level like 70. I mean, it's terrible. But it is getting old with the monthly stuff, and he is totally right about the charity event and the gathering type events. Yeah. We talked about that last week. So, I mean, I could not agree more with you, Parnassius, for that. But there's just something special about double XP weekend that I really, really enjoy. And just as a final, just a final little thing here. We can't forget that while RuneScape is an MMO, And while we enjoy the social aspect of the game, it's not a competitive game. So your XP is your XP. Your achievements are your achievements. And I don't feel that my achievements have been watered down by anyone else. That's on me. But that's a personal thing. I know not everyone feels that way, but that's how I feel about it.
I couldn't agree more with you there.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp as well, and that's why I don't mind all the bonus XP that's coming into game. Because, I mean, hey, if you want to do that, that's fine. I'm not out there for XP and all that, you know, chasing the high scores. And I think there are lots of options Jagex could do for that regarding those types who want to chase that. So that's not an issue. But, you know, I don't think that they would do a double XP weekend if the internal metrics on the economy said that would absolutely be a horrible thing to do. Because, you know, they track that stuff like there's no tomorrow. We got to remember that. Mod Timbo tracks all the economic stuff and all the XP coming in and knows exactly what's going on in game. So I think the hope for Jagex with this double XP weekend and what people are likely going to be doing is training Slayer. So, you know, with that being said, I think this double XP weekend is fine. I don't think we'll be seeing one again in September because, I mean, I don't think it would be a good thing for them to effectively do four in the same, you know, 1 year period from September through September, right? So...
Yeah, I think we would see one. We'll see one in November, right? Because we had for this year, we had February, this one, but it should normally, if it had followed the same pattern, it would have been February and then in November. Or is it?
I don't November? Think they've ever they've never done one in November before.
No, they've never.
So it's September.
Yeah,
so
September. It is September.
Okay. All right. So I mean, yeah, I think we're gonna. They called this like an additional one. I think we'll get one.
I do think the normal one will happen. And I also just realized, going back to my point, not only is this they want people to do Slayer, but like I said, it drives new traffic, so they're getting more people online to come on when Menaphos is released.
Yeah.
So it's driving traffic to drive Menaphos.
Because if you buy members for this, you're going to have membership for when Menaphos arrives. So, you know, hey, you come for this double XP weekend, just stick around for another 2.5 weeks and you get to experience this brand new update. So, you know, it's got to come down to marketing. I think you hit the nail right on the head there with that, Sierra. But I will say that I do miss the olden days of RS training when 99s were a rare thing and that wasn't the sole objective of the game. You know, you guys remember how rare it used to be seeing a 99 runecrafting cape?
Yes, okay. And and luckily for everybody that, you know, misses those times, there's another game you can play. You can get that feeling. And you know, you have that available to you.
RuneScape Classic?
No.
The middle one.
The middle child that no one talks about. You know.
You know, I think you're going to have Parnassius running for the hills with that comment.
Sorry.
Well, there's that. Hey, there's another option. If you don't like extra or bonus XP, you can also Iron Man.
Is that you weren't going old school, you were going Iron Man.
No, I was going old school, but we'll throw Iron Man in there too. I'm just saying if you want to see a rare.
But I mean, hey, even Iron Man is corrupted because they get XP from the fair.
Well, see, there's just no hope. There's no hope. Just I don't know. Jesus, Shane.
Hey, I'm just pointing it out like it is because, I mean, if you really want something with low XP, you gotta play RS Classic.
Shane bringing the truth to the table here. Yes.
Well that's what I aim to do. I aim to, you know, point the truth out, and I have convinced multiple people in the past to abandon their ideas and principles that they had coming into the show to adopt what I see as the truth. I can't remember what the updates are, but it's happened. I've made people like quests they didn't like.
One of us.
So, I honestly don't think it's old school.
Yeah. I've been dabbling a little bit. It has its appeal. I can see for some people. That would never be my exclusive game. But if you wanted to do things like they used to be done, that is an avenue for you to do.
We want the XP rates and the values that the old game had. We don't want the RSI that comes with not having a make X system of old school. We want the beautiful graphics of NXT. We don't want the 2007 graphics of old school to hurt our eyes.
No, I couldn't agree more with you, but just wait, because I'm willing to bet there'll be a toggle for that.
Damn, dude.
You're moving from one minefield to the next, Tannis.
Well,
I do.
It seems like one of his points was...
I assume we should just abandon all hope and start discussing the week's politics news on here, if that's what we're doing, right?
Oh. No. Probably not a good idea.
I give. Uncle.
You're getting very close to that. You're stepping on minefields and you're poking hornet's nests with this discussion topic.
You know. I was unaware.
All right, Sarah, what were you going to say about this?
Well, it seems like one of his big points was that it's all these updates, free cooking, all these free XP. It's all, how did he put it? No community or player interaction. And I don't think that's just because of all of these free events. That's generally where Jagex has been going in all of their updates, is the less player interaction.
That's more, a very good point. That's a very good point.
More Slayer, more PVM, less, they don't give a damn about the skills. They've been moving that way for a long time.
Yeah, and we pointed this out last summer on one of the updates where we talked about all the skills that needed to rework, and I think there were only three or four.
Every single one of them that isn't combat.
Actually, there's three or four that serve a purpose here right now, believe it or not. So.
Well, you know, I think the sad thing is I don't necessarily think that's what Jagex wants. I think they're trying to think of things that will get people to like congregate and talk
absolutely.
And socialize.
Absolutely.
But it's just not the, you know, I don't know how much is it our fault for being wrapped up in the in our games. I mean, I know I do it.
Right?
I'm guilty. You know, I'm guilty. I'll check that. You know, I'll use that Discord bot. Oh, type in games. You know, what do I do today? You know, like I don't know how much is us and how much is them. Maybe we're both guilty.
Well, let's just do a show of hands here. What's the longest you guys have stayed logged in on a double XP weekend?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Without a break?
Without a break.
Without a break, I've probably never went more than, I can't go more than maybe 3 or 4 hours. I have to take a break.
All right. So you're saying in that regard, then, you're not one of the people who runs up, used to run up against the 6-hour login timer.
Yeah, no, I mean, not in that regard, but that's kind of a health thing.
I can't,
you know, can't do that.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll find out this weekend, because I'm running Clan Quest double XP weekend competitions, which will be started by the time you guys are hearing this. And, you know, I questioned what skills we would go for, and by far the skill that got the most traction was Dungeoneering. So I don't know if that's just us or if it's the community as a whole. But...
That's man. So anyone that is in Clan Quest, consider yourselves lucky, because I spent 2 double XP weekends in a row trying to do Dungeoneering and nobody was interested. It was terrible.
Well, hey, there's another reason for you to join Clan Quest.
Right.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to get you to join. You'll join one day. You'll join one day, perhaps. But
perhaps.
All right. So we've kind of moved beyond this, and I think in general we're just airing grievances here when it comes to XP and the XP culture in RuneScape. So I have to say I agree with Parnassius, but I don't think they would do a double XP weekend if it was unhealthy for the game. I want to underscore that, getting back to the actual preposition here. But at the same time, you know, it has to be reined in, and I think in general people need to become aware of the game outside of the levels, the achievements, and the XP. I think that's all there is to it. So
anyways, I agree with that.
Yeah. I think that about sums up all I need to say on this discussion topic, unless either of you guys got anything else.
No, I'm ready to get out of the minefield while I still have all my limbs.
Okay. How about you, Sarah?
I'm good.
Okie dokie then. If you guys want to send questions in, update.rsbnb.com/ask. Questions@rsbnb.com is the email address, and 571-57BNB is the phone number if you want to text us or leave us a voicemail. All right. We got some major news in the cybersecurity front this week, and oh boy, was this huge. So you know how we always tell you to run your Windows updates on this show? This week is a reason exactly why you would want to run your Windows updates. So let's take a trip over to the UK right now. And last Friday morning, there was a huge cyber attack, and the largest cyber attack this year that we know about thus far. So starting off Friday morning in the UK and Spain, there was a new malicious piece of malware making the rounds globally called WannaCrypt. It effectively blocked users from using their data unless they paid a ransom in not cash, but Bitcoin. I assume you guys are both familiar with what Bitcoin is.
I know it's an online currency. That's about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Bitcoin is basically a cryptocurrency that's cash online. It can't be tracked, and it's just like real cash. If you lose it, it's gone, and there's no way to get it back. So the WannaCrypt exploit is using a piece of malware that was stolen from the National Security Agency, otherwise known as the NSA in the USA.
We're number one.
So everyone knew that this piece of software or malware that the NSA had was stolen earlier this year in a WikiLeaks publication. But prior to the WikiLeaks publication, a month earlier to be exact, Microsoft released a patch that fixed this vulnerability on March 14th. This, of course, protected the newer Windows systems and computers that had Windows Update enabled, hence why you want to run your Windows updates when they come to you every second Tuesday of the month. But unfortunately, since this was a worm and computers that were unprotected running Windows XP, because that doesn't get security updates anymore, were hit by this. And the biggest culprit of this was the National Health Service in the UK. So basically, you have a case of malware that was patched by Microsoft and got out in the wild as a result of the NSA not being able to protect its own cyber borders. So this piece of tech news underscores a huge problem that exists in multiple areas of security as we know it today. The first one being that people are still reluctant to upgrade off Windows XP, and Microsoft can't provide upgrades for those folks. The second problem is that people running newer systems, Windows 8, Windows 10, have the option to install these security fixes, but sometimes don't because, hey, it's just easier to click not right now for Windows Update or turn Windows Update off entirely because, hey, we don't want to give up the precious time to install these updates, and we might have had a bad experience in the past that prevents us from wanting to update Windows. And of course, the third problem underscored here is that the NSA, who was guarding this exploit and wanted to use it nefariously to obviously spy on people, let their own cybersecurity lapse, and this exploit was released to the wild through the NSA leaks. So it's a three-pronged problem, and each of those prongs is, you know, very thorny, and it's something that needs to be dealt with by each of the parties involved, the customers, Microsoft, and of course the NSA. So if you get hit by this, you can expect your data on your computer to become locked. And hey, even if you pay Bitcoin, there's no guarantee you're going to get it back. So the rule for this is if you ever get hit by this, don't pay the ransomware and just assume that your data is lost for good. Before I continue, do you guys have any questions here?
I think I'm safe, so.
Yeah. I mean,
it sucks. I've been hit with ransomware once, and it's not pleasant. You know, that's had to do a whole reinstall. So it's not good. And I think it's unfortunate that this exploit should have been brought to Microsoft so they could patch it.
But they patched it a month before it was released by the NSA, and
I know.
Oh, but you're when saying
the NSA found it.
They should have reported. They should have known, right? Yes.
I just because if you can't secure it, what if this was? I mean, what if it was a conventional weapon? You know what I mean? We'd be having a very different conversation, and it could cause a lot of damage just because it's cyber. Doesn't make it okay. And I worry that, you know, they were asking for a fairly small amount of money. And
about $300.
Really, yeah. And so I worry that that was a trial run, that there's something.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head here. And this comes to point number two, from people not installing their Windows updates and not being safe online. You know, it just goes to show that if these worms can propagate across the internet and people aren't protected, they are going to be hit by them. And there's no way to prevent that from happening with how many Windows PCs are out there on the internet today. There's just no way of stopping it. And, you know, I think that's why the attitude needs to change. Specifically, you know, from, I don't know, I guess maybe the PC makers needs to reinforce the idea of installing Windows updates because, you know, I saw stories in the New York Times advocating people to install third-party malware software detection tools for this. And we all know how bloated those things are and that they don't work half the time. The best defense against malware today is to make sure your system is up to date, run the scans that are associated with Windows through Windows Defender, and use a little bit of caution when opening those email messages. If you're getting an email and it has attachments from someone that you don't know and that you weren't expecting, delete that email right away and don't open it. So I think that's how you solve problem number two. And how you solve problem number one of the affected systems is Microsoft just needs to get tough on these corporations out there who are still using Windows XP and have these machines on the internet. Because Windows XP came out in 2001 and hasn't been supported for years. So, I mean, it's got to happen. And I would absolutely love it if Microsoft took a hard line and forced updates, security updates, on consumer end users and, you know, gave financial incentives to corporations and enterprises to make sure that they are up to date and running the most recent version of Windows. That would go a long way to fixing these problems. because you know how much it costs to license an enterprise version of Windows? Significantly more than it costs to get the consumer license of it. So Microsoft has leverage right there, and they should use it. And they also have leverage with the end users. Now, when it comes to the third prong in the NSA, well, the NSA has basically just proven that you can't build backdoors into software or hardware, because if you do that, it's going to get out there and fall into the hands of bad actors, and no one's going to have a good day at the end. So,
I guess, was it Tim Cook? I guess he was right.
Yeah, he was right all along. I mean, as much as he wanted to, and as much as people want to help the FBI, like no company doesn't want to help the FBI in any regard like that, you can't put that level of openness out there and create backdoors that people can get in. It's either we have security and encryption or we don't. There's no middle of the road. And hopefully the NSA will learn that. And I think they'll be undergoing a radical reformation of how they store their stuff internally, because there was lots of stuff leaked.
I love your you have the optimism of a Canadian.
Well,
I love it.
I mean, they have to do it. They have to do it, because what happens next time, right?
I have absolutely no faith that anything will change in the NSA. And
sounds all right.
I don't know. I love that. I love that optimism, though.
Well,
it would be great.
They
learned their lesson.
The reason I think that they are going to change is because they want to stay one step ahead of the bad guys and maintain their ability to surveil anyone they want. So they're going to make sure that these things don't get out, and they're going to make sure that they're more covert in what they're doing.
Ooh, and there the shoe dropped. Okay. I got you.
See?
Now. It's practical. Actually practical.
Right, and that's why I think the NSA is going to change the way they do things, because their core mission is to surveil, and if they can't do that successfully, they're not fulfilling their mandate, and they need to change to be able to fulfill that. So that's why I think they're going to change. It's not because it's a good thing to do. It's because they want to surveil still. Anyways.
Realist. I love it.
Yeah. So you thought I was being optimistic.
I know. I did.
In the end, I was being realistic.
Yep. Completely.
All righty. On to our next piece of tech news, focusing in on the story we talked about regarding Waymo's self-driving cars. Waymo is actually going to lawsuit against Uber because Waymo – or no, I'm sorry. I might have got these reversed here. Waymo, the self-driving car company, which is a subsidiary of Google's Alphabet, accused and Anthony Lewandowski, one of its former engineers, of stealing thousands of confidential documents from Waymo before departing and going to work for Uber's self-driving car team. So basically someone left Waymo, stole some documents, and went to Uber with them. Yeah, one of those old corporate swaps like that. Also, the decision basically hints that with the judge's pending decision on a preliminary injunction, may not be favorable to Uber at all. Waymo, which of course is backed by Alphabet, has asked that the injunction prevent Uber from using its technology while the case proceeds. And this basically means that Uber would not be able to work on or practice their self-driving car technology while this case is going on.
Huh.
And of course, you know, the big story of this is that, well, it was one engineer who departed and stole these secrets. Both of these companies now are paralyzed in the courts with this. And while Alphabet is able to proceed ahead with Waymo, Uber, who is also working on similar technology with this, is not going to be able to produce that any further. Thus, this one employee effectively having shot Uber in the foot. So,
yeah, this sounds a lot like the Oculus case, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. Except the Oculus is a simple piece of technology, whereas self-driving cars is something that can really change the world. I'm not sure VR can do that, but You know, it's very going to be very interesting to see what happens here. And this could be like one of those cases in the 1990s that ultimately involved Microsoft. So we'll have to see what comes from this. But, you know, based on this, I wouldn't be surprised if Google and Alphabet prevail and Waymo comes out ahead, because, I mean, I think that they would ultimately get favor in the courts with this. And, you know, the data was actually stolen. So, from Waymo.
And it wouldn't be the first shady thing that Uber's ever done.
That's right. So, we'll just have to wait and see, but this could really paralyze Uber. And our final piece of tech news this week is regarding Google I/O, which is Google's annual developer conference, in which they released Android O. The Android Assistant, Google Assistant, is coming to iOS. I don't know why you'd want that, because it's not going to be able to interact deeply with iOS like it can on Google. So that's a bit of a question mark right there. Google also announced its Daydream VR platform coming to standalone headsets. No cable or PC or phone will be required for this. So basically means it'll be an all-in-one virtual reality headset that can run applications, which is going to be very interesting because, you know, right now you got to be tethered to a gaming grade plus PC, which is kind of annoying, or use something like a Gear VR for a Samsung phone, which basically utilizes your phone and ties that up at the same time. Android O, I already mentioned, of course, coming after Nougat. We'll figure out what that's named later. Google Home changes, including hands-free voice calling and Bluetooth support with this. So basically, Google Home is aiming to replace your standard phone is going to have free calling in the US and Canada. So you can have another service here that'll allow you to ditch your phone, assuming you've already ditched your phone for a mobile phone. Do you guys have
rest of the world?
You guys have landlines?
No,
I do not, but I've really been thinking about getting one, because when you have, you know, a small child, you want them to be able to call for help if there's an emergency.
Landlines. I thought you said landmines. And that's why I sounded so confused when I said it. Yeah, no, we have a landline here.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying that. I would hope you don't have landmines in the U.S.
No, we don't.
Well, there's probably some compounds out west where some militia types probably have some. I don't know.
They're also doing something called proactive assistance, which will basically listen to you and offer you suggestions of what you might want Google Home to do. Google Photos is getting some updates. They'll tell you who you might want to share your photo with, for example, shared libraries and photo books. So that's kind of copying a bit of what Apple has for their Photos platform, and also bringing machine learning to the camera on Android phones with new technology called Google Lens, which basically recognizes what you're looking at and suggests actions and provides information on it. So you might see a sign, for example, out on the street, and you can take a photo of it and you'll get restaurant reviews. Or you can take a photo of a certain flower and it will tell you what kind of flower it is using its image recognition technology. In addition to, of course, QR codes and barcodes and whatnot as well. So Google's effectively here really focusing in on making their devices smarter, to live up to that smartphone name, which I think really sets the bar high here for the next iterations of iOS and Windows for the phone. Because when you think about it, before this announcement, Apple doesn't have anything like Google Home, and Siri is already behind Google Assistant and Microsoft Cortana in terms of its capabilities. So Apple really has to do something next month at their developer conference if they want Siri to maintain any kind of viability on their platforms. in regards to the competition. So that's going to be something to watch for. I don't know. Are you guys Android users?
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay. So this doesn't affect us in that much. It would have been interesting to have an Android user's perspective here, but I can imagine, based on what was announced, that they would indeed be pretty happy with this. So looks like I don't want to call it a home run, but they definitely did well with their I/O presentations this year. All right.
It sounds awesome and scary at the same time.
Yeah, and you know, that's what Google is really capable of when you think about it, because you know, they have all the compute power and they know the way words work and everything with Google search engine, right? Now, if they can just bring that to media and the phone and your voice, then they are effectively on their way of augmenting reality around you with your phone and, of course, Google Home. So it'd be very interesting. Sure. This entice any of you guys switch to Android O when that comes out?
Probably won't.
They would have really have to step up their accessibility with their phones.
Right.
So right now, right. Apple is just they're just too good, and they've been too good for a long time.
With the accessibility front entirely, I assume is what you're referring to. All right.
Yes. Yes.
Okie dokie then. Well, that's it for tech news this week, everyone. We're going to have a look at the May skill of the month right now, in which Touchpad Pro Adiron Cronon has just obliterated the competition here, maintaining his linear trajectory of about 5.5 million cooking XP per day. He started at 66 million XP in cooking, and he has since gained 92 million cooking experience, almost 93 million.
Wow.
Second place is Parnassius with 7.5. Third place is Flash with 3.8. Fourth is Whitey with 1.5. And in fifth, we have Parnassius. This is Iron Man, Iron Ass with 1 million XP gained. Everyone loves Parnassius' Iron Man name.
It's the best. I told all my friends about it after the last show.
Oh, that's great. All right, so we have some achievements of the week. Not as many as last week. We'll start off here with Pokemama 1, who got 99 Slayer on May 17th. Congratulations. Packrat 4, 99 Attack, also on the 17th. Roar Bob, 99 Woodcutting on the 16th. Kebab Thief with 99 Thieving on the 15th. Daydreamer with 99 Divination on the 14th. And Gloom Reborn on May 13th with 99 Ranged.
And on the 12th, we had Dire Straits, who got 200 million attack XP and 200 million strength XP. Ooh. And then on the 11th, the Lion got 120 farming.
Nice.
Hooray.
Diapolo? Is that right, Shane?
Yeah, just wing it.
Okay. 99 construction on the 11th. Grimy Tossels? Okay. 99 Thieving on the 11th. Sarah Pyro, I've heard that somewhere before. 99 Invention.
And Max Cape.
11th. And Max Cape. All right. Congratulations there, buddy.
Thank you.
Wolfie got 99 Invention on May 11th. And Wolfie got 99 Agility on May 11th. This is a busy day for Wolfie on the 11th.
He also got a Max Cape.
Nice. Congratulations there, Wolfie.
Did you guys do it together?
Nope.
Aw, too bad. Would have been nice to see a joint event like that. But yeah, great achievements all around. And I shudder to think what next week's achievement section will look like with Double XP
Weekend.
Oh,
Lord.
Oh. Woo.
Good job, everyone. All right. So, Tanis, I believe you have a pick of the week for us.
I do have a pick of the week. So, recently, a new game released that is it's pretty cool. It's Friday the 13th, so it is based on the movies. And one player, this is a multiplayer game, one player is randomly chosen to be Jason, and I think there's like five or six others that are the campers. And so your job is to try to stay alive and evade Jason, and his job is to kill you. So it's similar to Evolve in that way.
Dead by Daylight, if anyone's played that.
Yes, that as well. So, but it's a pretty cool game. I saw the beta footage probably 3 or 4 months ago, and I had been waiting on this game to release, and it finally did. So, yeah, check it out. Or you could wait a couple months because the Steam sale's coming, and the dates have been leaked. So you can look around.
No one's going to buy games now. No one's going to buy games.
And I know the date.
All right. So are you, I assume you're purchasing Friday the 13th?
Yes. Yes, I will be.
What do you think of it based on what you've seen so far?
I think it's going to be just a lot of fun. This isn't a game that you're going to take too seriously, but this is going to be fun. It's going to be a great game to stream. Plenty of jump scares with this one because, you know, you're going against another person. You don't know what they're going to come up with. And there are, like, you know, bear traps and this stuff. So you can try to, like, you know, throw Jason off or, you know, catch him with a trap, and you can hide under the beds and just all kinds of stuff. It's really, really pretty neat. So, you know, it'd be one of those games, you know, turn out the lights, you know,
turn on maybe Twitch. Something to stream on Halloween.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and it's just a very rich tapestry to work from. You know, the Friday the 13th movies are great, and I think this game is probably going to be the best game that has come out of those.
All right, sounds good. You can find the game website at f13game.com, and of course it's also on Steam and Xbox One as well, so lots of places to get it, depending which platform that you play on. So, all right. Thank you, Tanis. So what have you been up to this week on RS, Sarah, aside from maxing out?
I maxed and I kind of crashed after that. I mean, I've been playing around with the orb and the color filters.
Yeah, that's fair. But I can understand that. That's a long journey to complete, and everyone's truly allowed to take a break after something like that.
Yeah, so I haven't been doing much RuneScape lately.
All right, fair enough. How about you, Tanis?
I have to say I completely understand where you're coming from, because that grind is real, man. You get towards the end, that grind is real. So, but hey, now you can it's not, you do whatever you want. So that's
pretty much.
I have been I've been doing a lot. I've been really busy this week, so I've been doing a bunch of Slayer and Reaper to try to get some money to make sure I have the supplies I want for double XP. So this whole week has been double XP preparation week, and I've also been buying stuff for my second account, so that he can get up to, my goal is to get the levels and get him in the Prif. And I'm really surprised at how much fun I'm having. I never thought I would want to do any of this stuff again, but I'll be damned. It was a lot of fun. And it's even funner, I think, the second time, because you know all the best things to do and the best ways to do it. And it's
some of the content has been reworked since you would have done it the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it. So I've been having a ball with that. And then I've been doing like this Throwback Thursday stuff. So last week I decided, instead of doing, you know, exclusively retro games, how about I go retro with RuneScape? And
I hope you did classic, not old school.
No, I did old school. I didn't even know classic was still around. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, last year there was a chance everyone who had membership had a chance to log in and claim their classic account if you did that.
Yeah, I did not do that. I've never played classic. So, but OS was OS is actually before I started playing RuneScape. So it was actually like a year or two before I started playing. Well, about a year. So, but I've been doing Quest, and I've been having a good time. I mean, it's actually been pretty fun. It's terrible with its accessibility, but the Quest's been fun doing some of those again.
So. All right. Anything on your main RS3 aside from DXP preparations?
Like I said, just a lot of Reaper and a lot of Slayer.
Alrighty, that sounds good. As for me this week, I've been Ark Island hopping again, running around the Ark, fishing and woodcutting just to level up some invention here and there. Aside from that, I've been farming herbs and whatnot for the double XP weekend. It's not looking like I'll be able to farm all my requirements on my own for my secondary, so I will have to spend some money on that. But hey, I have some money to burn, so why not? So, yeah, double XP weekend's going to be fun. I actually have plans this time to train stuff, so I'll have lots of stuff to do, because last time it just kind of crept up on me and didn't really do much preparation. You guys will recall that I forgot to purchase secondaries. I started training Herbloren. Oops. No spoilers.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. So, prayer potions, prayer renewals, supersets plus magic and ranged potions, super ranged potions. That's what I'm going to be making, because I don't do enough combat to make overloads for these weekends. I can make 100 and I'll be good for the next year. So.
Okay. And should we give everyone a few tips for double XP weekend?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. What do you got?
Well, I just have a few. Just a couple do's and don'ts from me. Think of it as Tanis's tips, okay? Do train crafting, herb lore, construction, dungeoneering. Those are, you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. And it's with dungeoneering, you're going to get the best XP. Don't push your body too far and stay up for 20 hours straight. You don't want to be like the guy that fell over dead at the internet cafe because you went on a bender. Okay. You need more than Red Bulls and pizza rolls.
You've got
to get up and walk around. Finally, don't be a dick and kill people on the Wildy agility course. Just saying. Just saying.
I'd also like to expand on that and don't steal people's Slayer spots.
Don't crash.
Nah, there you go. Don't crash. That's a technical term for it. I mean, it's double XP weekend. We all want to be there and accomplish the same thing. So, like that's not the weekend to do it. Like, there's never a weekend for it, but just don't do that on double XP weekend. You know, like, you find a different world. Go play on the French or German world or something like that if you really want to be alone. Like, I mean, that is a good option, and I would highly recommend it. And, hey, you get to pick up some foreign language expertise at the end, right?
There you go.
And you have no idea what you're picking up.
Ah, that makes it even better. It's all a mystery, right?
But if you crash someone, I can take a few guesses.
We don't want to give that advice to crash people. So.
No, I'm just saying, if you did crash someone, you wouldn't need a dictionary to know what they were saying.
True. My German is not that good. My French is okay. But all right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And, of course, thank you to you, Sarah, for joining Tanis and myself for this. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Yay.
And we will see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Bye.